Hello and welcome to Inside the Huddle in association with SkySports.com and NFL UK. We're sponsored by Sport Lobster, the sports social network, and we are back on Radio Row in Phoenix, Arizona. Jeff, it's just as not quite as crazy as yesterday. It's starting to thin out a little bit on Radio Row as you get towards the end of the week.
But you know what? I'm coming down the elevator on the way to come down here and do this, and riding up the elevator going the other way, Arthur Blank, owner of the Atlanta Falcons. And Lenny Kravitz was around here this morning with his entourage and a bunch of bodyguards. So the only guy that has more bodyguards than Lenny Kravitz here is you, Neil.
Oh, I'm not sure about that, Jeff. I think you might be.
After having an opportunity to ask both the head coaches a question and then the commissioner a question, you may need a bodyguard now.
It was interesting, the sort of process of these questions. So I had a chance to, you have to pin down the PR guy, put your hand up, as you said yesterday. It looked like I was in an auction trying to bid for some sort of piece of pottery.
You'd be broke right now if you were.
But I was sort of next on the list with the two coaches, and I was going to ask a question about Tom Brady playing in a sixth Super Bowl and going for win number four, and then all of a sudden the guy before me asked about Tom Brady. And the PR guy next to me kneels down and says, "You're next." And I'm like, "Oh boy, now what?" But luckily I've always got this stock, London series, international series to fall back on. And Belichick was very, very positive about it.
Yeah, you're a pressure player. And you know what was? You talk about confirming validity, right? We always talk about confirming validity. Well, let's confirm the fact that the international series games in London and all of the work of NFL UK and Sky Sports NFL and everybody that's promoted and helped and had some role in the game all the way down to everybody that watches it on TV, buys a ticket, anybody has really got to feel good about the fact that both Bill Belichick, who hands out compliments like they were manhole covers, and Commissioner Goodell went out of their way to say what a great deal it was. Belichick said, "We've had two great experiences out there," and the commissioner, basically on his own, just went out and said it's been a bigger success than we ever imagined.
I had that sinking feeling when I asked Belichick that question, and he said, "Well, it's really one for the league office." And I thought, "Oh, he's just going to give me the straight bat and not answer." And then he did go into it. What about Pete Carroll giving a shout out to the Birmingham Lions?
Yeah, actually, you know what? That's amazing. Wayne Hill called me a couple years ago, and he goes, "Jeff, we'd like to tape a little piece from you giving a pregame speech to the Lions before their championship game."
Yep.
And I said, "Well, yeah, I'll be glad to help you, Wayne." He goes, "Good, because we had Pete Carroll last year." And I thought, "Oh, my God, how am I going to live up to that?"
No pressure then.
But they won, so we're all good.
So we are going to talk a bit about the coaches' press conference, a little bit more about some of the things the commissioner touched on. Obviously London, but there were other issues there as well. We're going to talk about the fans that are already here in Phoenix, Arizona. Maybe look at a couple of X-Factor players in this game and then take some mailbag questions. Jeff, I've got one here from... I just want to do this one now because it kind of sets the tone of, how you and I are when we're on the road. Joe Hell Deloxley says, "Guys, what's your favorite place in Phoenix?" Jeff, last night, not together, I hasten to add, our favorite place was our beds, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What a couple of old men we are. I went to bed at like 6:45 p.m. Incredible. I got back from everything we did in the media day. I couldn't stay awake, and I thought, well, I'm just going to give in. I went to bed at 6:45. I thought I was a lightweight, and then you told me, what time did you go to bed?
5:30. Jet lag. It was all jet lag. You know where my favorite place in Phoenix is? Right here on Radio Row, because it is amazing all the people that you see walking past here. I mean, it's phenomenal. It really is. It's amazing. Fans, and the greatest thing that the NFL does is it makes the game fan friendly. You see all the fans now are allowed in Radio Row, and it's just they're as starstruck as we are with everybody that's walking around in here.
A couple of people on Twitter were asking if you and I were on the booze yesterday when we recorded that podcast. I think we were just drunk on the life of covering the NFL.
The excitement of being at a Super Bowl. And, I was talking to some guys earlier today. This was their 19th Super Bowl. And I said, "Does it ever get old?" And they just shook their heads and smiled and laughed. They said, it's the best week of the entire year.
I'm so into this Super Bowl, I'm actually going to stay up after 7 o'clock tonight. I'm going to do it. You watch. See if I don't. Jeff, so the coaches held their press conference this morning. Pete Carroll of the Seattle Seahawks, Bill Belichick of the New England Patriots. And Pete was cracking a few more jokes, but I thought Bill was quite open with a lot of his answers. I mean, what did you make of the mood of the two coaches?
Well, I thought it was really interesting. I thought while the Patriots stayed to script all week, I thought he was as open and actually had a little bit of sense of humor, which are not things that you normally attribute to Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
But this week I have seen a little bit of a different side of him. And certainly they're always going to be business first and they're always going to be company line. But I thought he was much more at ease. And that's a tough one when you're sitting up there next to Pete, because Pete will steal the show on you in a heartbeat. I mean, his line about can't wait for little Petey
little
to be
Petey,
born
Richard
when
Sherman
he brought the house
son,
down. You know, so, but it was really, I thought, good by Belichick and obviously outstanding by Pete Carroll.
Belichick just makes me laugh. I just watch him come out. He just looks like, he walks out, he looks like he's got wind.
He just
looks so uncomfortable.
But the only time he looks comfortable is when he's on the sidelines. You know, and he's
he's
got that hoodie on and he's got his headphones over his hoodie. And, that's when he looks like he's, he may be one of those guys that he's doing what he was born to do, you know.
I was reading the USA Today here today, Jeff, and that's a lot of todays for one sentence. Too many, really, if I was going to be grammatically correct. But the front cover of the sports section, I thought, this sums up this game perfectly. It had Pete Carroll and Bill Belichick, and then a load of players as chess pieces on a chessboard. I mean, that's what... This is going to be a great matchup of coaches, isn't it?
It is, but you know what was interesting? What both of them said, and I think this was really, really, really interesting. Both of them talked about how important having players was. But interesting, also, the Boston Globe this morning, you know, that was about how important it was to be intelligent and smart in the Patriot way.
Illustration of Bill Belichick at the head of a classroom and the players all sitting with their hands up.
With their hands up. So if you look at what's the most important single factor in Seattle? Belichick said it today. They compete every day.
Yeah.
What's the single most important factor in New England? That you're intelligent and you do your job.
Exactly, yeah. I think that's what Belichick has talked about. You know, the intelligence is because... Well, as a coach, what is it? Because you can process information faster, or are you committed in school? Why do you like intelligent players?
Well, I think there's a couple reasons for it, right, frankly. And one of the reasons why they have so many college graduates. What a guy finishing his college degree says to you is that he has paid the price. The easiest thing is to do to anything is to walk away, but he kept battling, kept working, kept doing what he needed to do to get his degree. That's number one. Number two, it means he can process information. And the two teams play dynamically different styles, particularly on defense. Seattle, very simple on defense, require players to run fast and get to the football. New England, extremely multiple on defense. They have to process a lot of information, a lot of coverages, a lot of fronts, a lot of checks, all of those things make intelligence a big factor in their structure.
Let's move on to the commissioner then. Roger Goodell addressed the media in his sort of annual State of the League address, and it was always likely to be a little bit spicy given the year the NFL have had, and there was talk of him being the integrity, and how could you not have a conflict of interest when it's Robert Kraft and you pay the investigators. He shot that stuff down very, very quickly. There was a couple of questions about should he take a pay cut, should he resign. He dealt with those very emphatically. But overall, I thought he came across very well. I thought he talked about the integrity of the league. And then we'll get on to a couple of the points that they're going to look at in the offseason. But how do you think that... It's never an easy one for the commissioner,
no,
especially this year.
No, especially this year with all of the issues that he's had to deal with. I think he did a good job of being the commissioner.
Right.
And when he got asked the tough questions, he didn't mumble and fumble and stumble around. He was very definitive in his answers.
Yeah.
But he was also very authoritative in the way he handled it, in my opinion, also. So I thought it was a plus job by the commissioner today, handling some very, very, very difficult questions, but questions that needed to be asked.
Just, we're here on Radio Row in Phoenix, Arizona, inside the Huddle podcast.
Charger fans, just to the right of us, about 20 meters, is Mike McCoy being interviewed, his son walking around with him. I mean, it is incredible the Jeff number of NFL fans are that how far you got to come. UK fans, start saving now and come to the Super Bowl, because I'm telling you, it is an unbelievable experience, one that you will never forget.
I'll see your Mike McCoy over my shoulder, and I'll raise you a Julius Thomas right there, just behind you, Jeffrey.
Yes, there are.
Yep. So you these players, everywhere you look, it's always good to drop a couple more names, isn't it? About that on Twitter as well. You two name droppers.
Well, of course we are, because we're here. We're just trying to give you a feel for the show.
Here we
What's
go.
Happening?
Three things the commissioner said they're going to look at in the off season. The extra point the competition committee is going to look at. I know you have thoughts on that, but you can mention it again. Maybe expanding replays to include penalties. I thought that was interesting. And playoff expansion. He wasn't as emphatic on that as I thought he had been in the past. He said, we understand there are risks there about diluting the regular season and a conflict with college football in January. So some of the things they're going to look at in the offseason.
Well, yeah, I think as we go through them, the number one thing to me is that you start talking about messing around with the kicking game. I don't like that. And I think that's one of the things that I have issue with the commissioner about, is too many you know, things have gone, you know, to de-emphasize the kicking game in the league. Number two, you know, the issue about the expanded playoffs. I think what may have, you know, backed them off of that a little bit was the situation in the
NFC West
and the
AFC South.
Yes. And the, you know, you got teams in the playoffs without winning records. So now you want to expand the playoffs more. That may have been the factor there. But you know, again, I think. I'll give you Julius Thomas. I'll give you Gil Brandt.
That trumps everything. Long time scout of the Dallas Cowboys. You'll see him around NFL draft a lot. Gil Brandt.
The first NFL guru was a guy that was instrumental in taking Bob Hayes from an Olympic gold medal, never played football, to a wide receiver from the Cowboys. A forward thinker. Preston Pearson, college basketball player at Illinois, became a third down specialist. He was way ahead of the curve in how he viewed the NFL.
What about the expansion of replays to penalties? You like this for pass interference?
I like this because we use it in the Canadian Football League, and it has changed games. It gives coaches an opportunity, if there's a blatant miss on a call, that they can get that reevaluated and possibly overturned. So I think that's a real positive step for the National Football League.
Commissioner talked about creating a culture of safety. Said concussions are down 25%. Hits to defensive players down 68%. I mean, this is a crackdown that's working. But let's talk about London as well then, Jeff, because the commissioner talked about the growth and the earlier kickoff times, and I got the sense that London doesn't need to do very much different now, or Britain. It's not London, it's Britain. Fans come from all over the country. They don't need to do anything different. All they need to do now is, and I think we are doing it, is stand the test of time. Do this for a number of years and keep growing.
Exactly, because when you hear him come out and in an unsolicited manner say, we have exceeded all possible dreams.
Yeah.
Right now, what that says to him, remember, when the commissioner makes that statement, that's 32 football teams making that statement.
Right.
That's 32 owners.
Yeah.
So when you say that, then what you're saying is that you've done beyond what we anticipated. Now, can you continue to do that? Can you continue to sell out games? Can you continue to when you've got two games in a month in Wembley, sell them out? Is Regent Street going to continue to grow? And what's your fan base numbers? What's your viewership numbers? He was it was very interesting to hear him talk about expanding the game and talking about viewership and how viewership and listenership, things like this podcast, help expand the game. He understands what it's going to take. There will be a franchise in the UK if we continue to go this direction. So just like any competitor, as competitors, we want the opportunity to have it in our hands, right? The ball's in our...
Right.
We have the ball. Now, we can either score a touchdown or we can fumble. It's up to us, UK.
And I think the interesting thing, Jeff, is if you build something without a foundation and you try and do something overnight, that's when you're risking it crumbling down. I think what they're doing is taking a very considered approach in the UK, a very patient approach, and therefore it's going to be a more long-term approach, a more sustainable approach. And the one word the commissioner uses a lot, and I heard him said about testing the market. More tests, you know, we're testing this, we're testing that. And every time, the British fans pass those tests.
Well, yeah, and you know what? And to be honest with you, there was a question about Mexico, and I don't want to alienate the Mexican fans, but the reality of it is they had an opportunity in Mexico, and for whatever reason, the league chose or has chose so far not to go back there. Yeah. While we had an opportunity in UK, maximized on that opportunity, and what has that created? More opportunities, more games, more television, more of all what all of us want, which is the NFL.
Jeff, you touched on Pete Carroll earlier, talking about little Petey and Richard Sherman's impending birth of his son, which has made news here because it could be any day now. His girlfriend has that baby, and Richard has said, well, I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. I mean, it's a tough one, isn't it? And Pete's taken the right approach. He's like, well, that's going to be up to Richard when the time comes. But that player is going to be really, really conflicted if he has to make that decision. Well, there is no right or wrong answer, I guess. It's a personal preference.
No, it's a personal preference. But see, that again speaks to something else that they both talked about in the press conference today, is you want whatever you have done throughout the year to carry you through this last week of preparation.
Yeah.
If you've competed hard all year, you'll compete hard in this game. If you've managed your team with the best interests of the player at heart all season long, you'll make a real easy decision to leave this up to Richard Sherman to handle it the way he wants to handle it. And that's, again, where the way Pete has built that program, you know, those players understand that it's about your family first, and then we'll work around everything else.
We were going to take this podcast to the streets today, Jeff, but we brought the weather we brought the weather from London. You're in your shorts
now
today.
I got my shorts, my flip-flop, my Hawaiian shirt on today, and it's raining.
We were going to take it to the streets, and just as well, really, and you never know what was going to happen, but we did notice after we recorded yesterday's podcast, we went for a little walk. We had a little drink after the podcast, not before, as people suggested. Grabbed a little something to eat, and we noticed the Seattle Seahawks fans were out in force.
Absolutely. The 12s were everywhere. I mean, we had a picture. I think if you follow us on Twitter, we had a picture with a bunch of 12s that came over. And, you know, but I tell you what, we couldn't find. You saw like ones and twos,
pockets
but
just
little pockets of New England fans, but didn't see a lot of New England fans. I don't know if they all got snowed in that big snowstorm early in the week or whatever, but I sensed a few more of them here on Media Row. There goes a couple right there in Tom Brady jerseys.
Yeah.
But there's not been that big gang of them like you see with the 12s. There's 12s everywhere.
This has been an incredibly well-received Super Bowl from a fan point of view. I saw a story today that tickets are selling on the secondary market, legal secondary market, for $10,000 a piece. It's the most expensive ticket in American sporting history. Why do you think that is, Jeff?
I just think that, you know, when you look at the two matchups, you got a great defense, a great offense, a team in New England that has a chance to make history, a quarterback in New England that has a chance to make history. The Seahawks have an opportunity to go back and be, you know, champions again, and the last team to do that was New England, I think, 10 years ago. So there's so many storylines that touch people in this game that I think there's a little bit of everything for every fan.
Jay Novacek behind you, Jeff. Look there, he's still got the cowboy hat on. Once a cowboy, always a cowboy. The old Dallas Cowboys tight end walking behind us here on Radio Row. Let's take some of your questions then, because we just incredible response from you guys again. I just put this out about 15 minutes before we started the podcast. So many questions. So I'm going to try and get to as many as we can here, and then we'll talk about a couple of X-Factor players in the game. We are going to break down the game on Saturday in more detail. Anthony Wooten asks, What do you guys do when the game finishes on Sunday night? Man hugs and go your separate ways? We're going to record another podcast.
No, we go right in the studio and try and get another podcast in. Actually, you know what? What we're hoping is that we can expand on the podcast during the course of the year. And then we need to be on Radio Row next year. We need to have, and we got official notification from a higher up in the NFL, I'm not going to say who, that we could have studio space here,
yes,
and we could bring it to you both on the radio, on iTunes, and download it on internet.
I love that. Good old Henry. Oops. David Hughes says, Neil, do you wish you'd asked the commissioner the cheeky pay cut question? No, because I like doing this podcast. Jeff, this one from JJ. Away from the Super Bowl, he says, Jeff, what are your thoughts on the coaching hires in Chicago? Good or bad news for Jay Cutler?
Well, I you know, I'm not that concerned about Jay Cutler because Jay Cutler is going to be fine no matter what happens. But I think if you're a Bears fan, and certainly unless that's Mrs. Cutler that sent that tweet, you know, your number one concern is your football team.
Yeah.
And I think this is a good move for Chicago. Fox will get that defense straightened out. Fangio will bring in the 3-4. It'll help, you know, McLennan and some of those guys that have kind of been lost in the defenses they were trying to run. You know, and then they've got enough weapons on offense in Chicago. Chicago's a good football team that underachieved. And I think John Fox is, you know, a proven winner and a guy that will get them to play at a high level. And I anticipate they'll compete for that division championship next year.
It's a question from Planet of My Own. He says, Neil, you look quite emotional, buddy, when you ask the commissioner your question. Well, it's the commissioner of the NFL. I'm still a fan, so I didn't know I was going to break into tears.
You know what? It was amazing. I thought about that when I was watching you stand up there, and you came up on the screen, and I thought, my man Neil is now global, right? He's not. It's not just the UK. He's now global Neil Reynolds.
You thought I had a head like a globe. This is a good one. You don't need to answer this, Jeff. Chris Hansen says, how many times will Jeff swear during the live broadcast? You got around Doug Plank. You
that's what happened. I got around. He and I were going to start forearming guys on our way out of here.
Let's have a look at another couple of questions here. Jonathan Newland says, Jeff, how will the Patriots change defensively to counter Russell Wilson getting to the outside?
Well, what I anticipate that you'll see out of the Patriots is a lot of press coverage on the wide receivers and using the strong safety to create an eight-man box, which will assign another player to Russell Wilson. That's really the way they're going to have to do this. I don't think the Patriots can survive playing too high in a seven-man box. I think they need that eight-man box so that they can get another player down there low to play Wilson. And I would think, if it's me, I would take the linebackers and shove the linebackers in such a way that Collins is always the outside linebacker to the side of the back, because that's the guy that has to play the ride and decide play.
Ryan Cahill asks, do you think the Patriots' offensive line can protect Tom Brady and stop Seattle's pass rush? Now, I've seen a number of things here, Jeff. Well, you know, people talk about how that defensive line gets overlooked, how it's the linebackers, it's the secondary. You've been very high on this defensive line at times during the season. They don't have massive sack numbers, but are they a disruptive defensive line, and can the Patriots cope with that? I guess we just don't, before you answer that, we have to factor in, whenever we talk about the New England offensive line, the speed that Tom Brady, only Peyton Manning got it out of his hands quicker this year.
Okay, now, if you're going to force him to hold it, that is a team proposition. When I say a team proposition, first of all, you got to play press all over the field, right? You can bail out and play zone off of your press alignment, but you can't give him easy pre-snap reads where he knows where to go with the ball quickly. Because talking to Chad O'Shea, the receiver coach from the Patriots, he said that Brady is unbelievably adept at knowing where the soft coverage is going to be and going to that.
Right.
So I think that's the first thing. And then the linebackers have got to get their hands on Gronkowski and not give him those easy. They will be more than happy to take 10 5-yard completions and go down and kick a field goal, right? So I think that's the number one thing. I think the critical factor in this game is Brian Stork going to be able to play for New England? Because if he does, then Wendell can stay, you know, Wendell can stay where he belongs. And what will Seattle do to counter, in my opinion, in pass rush downs? You're going to see Michael Bennett go from end to tackle, because the strength of the Patriot offensive line is the tackles Solder and Vollmer. And so, again, you want they're going to try and get their speed rushers down inside on those guards who have struggled.
That stuff I just mentioned about Tom Brady sort of almost takes away the deep passes, Jeff. I struggle to see New England that we're not operating without. They need some explosive plays. You can't go 12-play drive against these Seattle Seahawks, score another 12 play. Well, I don't think you can anyway. That's a tough ask against this defense.
Well, I think particularly if Seattle is able to get on top, that'll really make it tough on them. Now, I think what you'll see out of New England, Neil, is they'll scheme some shot plays, some double moves, some of those kind of things. But they're not going to be able to, in this game, in my opinion, throw seam routes and beat, you know, and beat Seattle. That's just not Tom Brady's strength.
That recipe for how Seattle defends you know, and stops that quick pass you just mentioned sounded a lot like the recipe that they had for beating Peyton Manning in this game last year. Be physical with the receivers. Make Peyton double pump the football and keep hold of the football. So Patriots fans would be worried hearing that.
Well, I would think that you know, it's going to be very similar to what you saw last year. Now, what I do anticipate is that the Patriots, however, will handle all that much better. Jimmy Graham just walked. Is he going to go say, Jimmy Graham going to say hello to you, Neil?
No, I don't know Jimmy Graham.
Jimmy Graham is very big, is he not?
He is
a tall man.
Big.
All right, so let's go back to the game. I just think that the Patriots will handle that much better than, frankly, Denver handled it last year. And think about Denver's situation. Shoot, the first play of the game, they snap a ball through Peyton's hands into the end zone. It's 2-0 before they ever have an offensive play.
Up, right?
They give up a kickoff return for a touchdown to open the second half. You know, it just they never had an opportunity to settle down and settle in. So, again, I think I anticipate that New England will play the game to, you know, hold off Seattle's intensity early and then just keep pounding away at them.
One last question here, Jeff. It says, it's from Russell Dutton, who says, is the alleged misdemeanor against the Patriots one too many, and as a result, what will the crowd reaction be on Sunday? I would just say that we've seen a lot of Seahawks fans around town, and definitely looks like they outnumber New England at the moment. But there's going to be a lot of Arizona Cardinals fans in that stadium as well, because the home team gets a certain amount of the tickets. And they're going to struggle to cheer for the Seattle Seahawks, aren't they?
I don't think there's any question about that. I think that Arizona contingent will be loud and proud for the Patriots, because, you know, there's a deep seated rivalry between Arizona and Seattle. Again, Neil, I just really think that this game has the makings of a classic, a true NFL classic.
It really does, doesn't it? When you look at the bits of history that you can sprinkle in as well, and that's all there. We've talked a lot about the big names, Jeff, and we'll break it down again more tomorrow. But is there an X factor, a player that's not really being talked about very much, who could not necessarily have the game of his life and be the MVP, but could come up with, you know, the signature play, or one or two plays, or, you know, just not a massive game, but enough to change the direction?
Yeah, you know, you look at this game, and last year we penciled Percy Harvin as that guy, and certainly he did that in the game. Now, when I look at this game, you know, I think the guy that needs to play well is Michael Ho'omanowunui, the backup or second tight end in New England, because obviously you know that all the attention is going to be focused on Gronkowski and Edelman, and I think that Ho'omanowunui in those multiple tight end sets can create a problem for Seattle. Now, that would commit them then that they're going to have to take a receiver out of the game. So, again, who that may be, if it was me, I would take
Amendola.
I would take Amendola out, leave LaFell in, and be in a lot of two tight ends.
I would say I'm looking at tight end as well. I'm thinking the other side of the ball. And I think Luke Wilson has really developed in the last 5 or 6 weeks of the season, including the playoffs. And
particularly if he's healthy.
And you think of how Russell Wilson gets out on the edge. And, you know, they scheme so well with those sort of naked bootleg plays. And I could see Luke Wilson getting quite a few catches in this game if Revis and Brown are shut down Baldwin and Kearse. I think he could have not a massive game, but a decent game.
Well, I think that's going to be a key, too, because you look at what New England will try and do. And he's going to have to not only play well catching the football, he's going to have to do well blocking on the perimeter.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a big part of their naked game. That's a big part of their ride and decide game. That's a big part of their tunnel screen game. So again, I think that's critical. You know, oh, we got another sighting. Lee Steinberg, the gentleman who was the original Jerry Maguire, just show me the money, just walked in, and he's sitting down 20 meters from Neil right now. Neil must be negotiating a new contract.
That's what we're here. He's gonna negotiate you and I new contracts for Sky next year. There we go. I think we'll be in pretty good shape. Jeff, let's wrap up then on Inside the Huddle here on Friday, live from Radio Row in Phoenix, Arizona. We're in Super Bowl City. I'm off to my hotel room just to recite my stats like it's my 8x table. And then I'll go to bed at 7 o'clock. That's how I roll when I'm on the road. What about you? Big night plans?
No. My wife's coming in, so I'm going to the airport to pick her up. And then
you're not allowed out then anymore. You blew it last night, my friend. No more to be said.
All right. You really are a buzzkill, Neil.
Come around to my place. Let's read some stats. All right. This has been Inside the Huddle in association with SkySports.com and NFL UK. We're a USP content production. We're sponsored by Sport Lobster, the sports social network. We will be back tomorrow to go into all the X's and O's of Super Bowl 49. Until then, say bye-bye, Jeff.
Aloha.